I got a verse of scripture I want to read before we go any further tonight. And it's over here in, I think it's chapter 6, in the book of Matthew. But it says right here in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, in verse 5, in verse 6 and verse 7, this is speaking about prayer, and we do need prayer today. We need to practice anyhow. What we need is a whole lot that we need to pray for. We need to pray for this country. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for all the pastors and all the preachers. We need to pray for all the Christians. That in the time that we're living in, that we need to stand fast. And two, not only that, we need to just be so close to Him that we can feel Him. But it says right here in chapter 6 in the book of Matthew, and it's speaking about two or three different things, but it says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have thy rewards. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You know, verse 5 and verse 6 is speaking of hypocrites. It's speaking of the way that they pray. But it also tells us as Christians that we must get in a closet. Now, that getting into a closet does not mean literally going and getting in a closet in your house where there's nothing in there but maybe your clothes and stuff like that. That's not what he means. What he means right here is to get along with God. You're by yourself, where nothing else around that will distract you, where the telephone won't even distract you. But today, you know, we have so much I hear will distract us today. That's the reason I believe that our prayer life is in the way it's in. And it says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do. Just don't be praying just to be praying. Just don't be out here just saying, Lord, God, do this and do that. Just don't do that. Because what you're doing, you're trying to be something that you're not. And he spoke of that back in verse 5, talking about the hypocrites. We don't need to pretend to be something that we're not. Because it's better for a non-believer not to come to church. It's better for them not to be in church and come to church if they're not going to come to church and get and listen to what the Word of God says and do what the Word of God says. Because if they don't watch it, they can get bound down. We have too many people today that I believe of that's in churches. Thank the Lord we don't have them here. But I know of people today that's in church. They don't know why they're there. They don't think that they're there to worship the Lord. Why? Because they didn't come into the church and they sat there. They would not move. They would not come forward. They would not come to the altar. They would not pray, and they would not even ask someone else to pray for them. So they get caught up in the ritual. They get caught up in what's going on within the house of the Lord. And we don't need to get caught up in what's going on in the house of God. But we need to be caught up with the Word of God, that the Word of God will move us. And I'm so thankful that the Word of God can move you, can move me. And it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Get by yourself. We don't need no distraction. We don't need somebody, any family or whatever, to come in and open the door and bother us if we're not praying. They need to leave us alone. They need to let us pray. Let us get in touch with God. The same way with them. If they know the Lord, then they need to get in touch with God also. And, you know, Bible study, I know of people right today, they won't go to church. They don't go to church. But they say that they have Bible study at the house. That's good. You can have Bible study Monday through Saturday. But I believe that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together with other Christians. Because other Christians can help us to go through what we've been through that week. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know about anybody else, but people that can go through all week long and not have a problem, and then they just going to stay at home on Sunday and have Bible study. They don't have to fellowship with the other Christians and everything. Hey, but I can't do that. Here I am. I'm just like an old Chevrolet Camaro that's got a 327 engine in it, and it's all hopped up and everything. And you can go out here and drive it up and down the highway,
And the next thing you know, as soon as you go over the next hill, you've got to pull in and get more gas. I'm not one out here that drives a VW bus or one of these hybrid vehicles out here that can go out here and get 100 miles and go 100 miles before they get any more fuel. I can't go from Sunday to Sunday and not be around God's people. I can't go that long without talking to somebody that likes to talk about the same thing that I talk about. And that's the Lord. Now, Brother Roy Newton called me yesterday afternoon, and he was talking and everything, and we got to talking about some things. And the next thing I knew, I looked at my watch, and it was an hour had went past. We've been talking about this and that. We've been talking about the track ministry and how he got started in it. And me and him went out and took out tracks, and we'd pass them all out. We got to talking about things like that. We got to talking about people getting saved. I won't talk about no race that they're going to have this weekend, if they're going to have one. I won't talk about going out here and driving down to Bugs Island Lake or Hyco or Smith Mountain or Philpot and go out there and have a tournament or something like that. And we didn't discuss anything about going and getting together and taking off to the coast or going to the mountains. We weren't talking about none of them things. We was talking about what God has done for us. And I'll tell you something, Brother Roy, he's got a testimony. If people would just listen to him, he has got a testimony. And the phone, we've been on the phone so long, the phone started, I don't know where it was, I don't know what it was doing, but it was ringing every time I turned around, it was ringing. Somebody like these, any of y'all remember the two-party line? Where you had a two-party line and you'd be on the phone talking to somebody, and then your neighbor across the road or somebody like, well, they need the phone, so they cut. Are you still on the line? But yesterday they was punching numbers in. They was punching, we could hear it. And he could hear it. I could hear it on my phone. And then a few minutes later, he says, "You hear that? Somebody's punching on my phone. I don't know if we'll get in touch with it or not." I said, "Well, no." I said, "It's probably the devil's what it is. The devil don't want us to talk about the things we're talking about." But I love talking about my Lord. He does too. And I don't understand people that don't like talking about the Lord. I don't understand people that don't want to come to the house of God. But yet, they don't come. But you can sit there and you can ask them, "Are you a Christian?" "Yeah, I'm a Christian. I got saved such and such date. I can take you to the place where I got saved. I can take you to the place and I can tell you exactly what happened." I think they've got that so memorized today that yes, that they can tell anybody the same thing over and over and over. But if you really want to see a true, bona fide Christian, one that you know that has the blood of Jesus on the life, you'll see him in church. Not just this Sunday and then the next Sunday they may be missing, or they may go down to the racetrack or somewhere like that. They're not consistent. They don't want to be committed. Thank the Lord, y'all have made a commitment to the Lord. And you say, well, preacher, how do you know? I don't have to know. Hasn't nobody told me? The Lord hadn't told me. But you know who told me? Your faithfulness to the house of the Lord, where you first come, and where I don't know if you got saved here or not, but if you got saved here, then you stuck it out through all that hard times. But let me ask you something. I'm going to ask you something, and I want you to think about it. Through the hard times that you've been through here, down through the years, has it made you stronger, or has it made you weaker? I can probably ask each and every one of you. You'll come back and say, it's made me stronger. It's made me stronger. We need to have some people today that's willing to stand up for what's right. The Word of God tells us the truth will set us free. If you go out, if you tell one lie, an individual that tells one lie, they got to turn around and tell another lie to cover up the first one. And then they're going to lie again to cover up the first two. I work with a man. He would give you, literally, he would give you the last dollar he had. I've seen him do that. He worked at Motor Parts and Equipment, where I worked at. And I've seen him pull out his last piece of money in his billfold and give it to an individual. Because an individual didn't even have the money enough to buy and pay for a set of points to put in his automobile where he could get home. But yet, you didn't know if he was telling the truth or not. Why? Because he got caught up in telling a lie. He didn't know how to tell the truth. The people that worked with him down there, they knew him. They could tell. I could tell. But just coming in and off of the street, you could not tell. And that's sad, because when somebody is like that, they don't have nothing else. They don't have nothing else but themselves is all they have. Because people don't put no trust in them. You can't put trust in people like that. But thank the Lord.
If I come, and if I need people to pray, to help me pray about something, and if I need somebody to lift me up in prayer, who am I going to come to? Am I going to go to Joe Blow down the street, then maybe come to church once a month? Or am I going to get in touch with the people that's in the house of the Lord? every service that's faithful, is that made a commitment to Him. That's who I want. That's who I want praying for me. And I'm sure that's who you want praying for you. I don't want no but just any individual praying for me. But I'll tell you, and you're going to be surprised at what I'm about ready to say. There are people out here that's around here in the city of Danville . They will not speak to me. They will not have anything to do with me at all. But I will say this. When I go in a place of business, and if they're there around there somewhere, I'll make a point before I leave, or before they leave the building, I'll make a point to go to them and ask them what kind of day that they're having and how they're doing. I don't want nobody to say that anything about me saying, oh, he's so stuck up he wouldn't speak to me. He's so stuck up he wouldn't say anything to me. But yet he'd go over there and he'd talk to that drunk and everything and all that. Prayer will make us do things that we don't think we ever would do. Prayer. There's power in it. Where does that power come from? It don't come from me. It don't come from you. It comes from above. It comes from Him. If it wasn't for Him, I could not even stand up here and I could not even read. Because at one time, and I know sometimes now, I will tear the English words all to pieces. Because there's some words that I can't pronounce them. I try my very best. But after I first got saved, I couldn't even, what I read here today, I struggled at reading that. I struggled with it. But I got in there, read, and I tried. I wish I could think of the man's name. I really do. He was at the radio station. VOV. I think it was on Saturdays when he comes, Saturday mornings. But he come out of coal mining fields of West Virginia. What was his name? Brother Bill, because you know him. He could not read a bit. He could not read nothing. He could not read or write. He could not even write his name. If somebody else wrote his name down, he couldn't even read it. But he says, after he got saved, he asked the Lord to help him with reading. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Now, you talking about preaching now, he could get on that and he'd preach, and I'll tell you what, the hair on the back of your head will just curl up. It will curl up. But I'll tell you what. But God taught him. Still trying to think of him, ain't you? Well, I'll tell you what. Where he started his church at was over there in front of the old Hardy's off of Wilson Street in the old Geico building. You know.
I know you're talking about it. I'm going to
But I'll tell you one thing that you're talking about preaching now. He can preach. I mean, he could preach. And he sit there and tell you that he couldn't read and he couldn't write. He said he had his own mama and daddy read to him. He said that his wife read to him right after he got saved, read the Bible to him until he started getting in there and he started reading some of it. He started going back and reading some of the things that she had read and she had helped him. But do you think, do you honestly believe that you thought that that right there would hinder him? I'm going to tell you. I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have done it, but he did. He did. But you know, I've come to find out over the years, and you could sit there and you can ask my wife, and she'd tell you the same thing. I could not stand up here. I couldn't stand up here and just talk to people. I couldn't go into a church that where I didn't know nobody and open the Bible and do what the Lord's asked me to do. I couldn't do it. I said, Lord, I can't do it. He said, son, I know that. You didn't have to tell me that. I know you can't do it. But he says, with me, all things are possible. All things are possible through him. And I tell you what, once he started opening doors, it's one of the things that I love to do. I love it. I love preaching. I love talking about my Lord. And about my Father in heaven. Just like I've told y'all before, he's not just my father. He's my papa. Because he's become personal to me. He's my papa. He's my daddy. He's just not my father. He's my papa and my daddy. I love him from tonight more than anything I know of. I love that lady back there with all my heart and all my soul. But I love him more. I love him more. Why? Because he done so much more for me. He did things for me that she could not do.
I'm going to ask all of you to do something. I know that last Wednesday night we all come up and pray, but we're going to all gather up here tonight. We're not going to have no more singing. But if you will, just come on up to the front and just let's pray. Pray for revival. Pray for Brother Paul Sisk as he comes, that the Lord will give him the message that is needed for the hour of each night. And also pray.